Okay, we're up to Simin Shin Ayin, a new Simin, Dinei Shituf Be'eruf, discusses the din of Tfisas Abayis. Tfisas Yod, really called Tfisas Yod, which we'll see what that means in a moment. Okay, it's on page Resh Lamed Hey. Page Resh Lamed comes after page 468. Again, it's Simin Shin Ayin. Hador b'beishar achsajo umir peses shebechotzer eino oiser al b'nei hechotzer she'enom chashuvim diwa. Here we have a courtyard. Let's make believe we have a courtyard. In the courtyard, let's say for argument's sake, we have five houses. And there are four walls, so there's no problem of mechitzos. But we know we have to make an eruv chatzeros. How do we make an eruv chatzeros? So we learned there are two methods, either everyone contributes a loaf of bread, or one person serves as the host for everyone in the courtyard. Let's make believe we're doing the first method. Every single person in this courtyard is going to contribute. Before Shabbos begins, a person comes in with a basket, and every bayis deposits a loaf of bread in the basket. Okay, everyone, all five people have deposited their bread. It seems like we're in business. Problem is, there is a sixth resident. The sixth resident of the courtyard has not contributed. He didn't contribute. What's going on? He ruins it for the entire courtyard. Not necessarily a problem, because this number six doesn't live in a real bayis. He lives in a beishar. He is the watchman. One of the apartments has a nice guard, has some type of
a guardhouse.
And the guard lives. He actually lives. That's his job. He lives there 24/7. Obviously, it's not a very comfortable house. I guess they take shifts, work for some type of company where they rotate, they go on shifts, whatever the case is. And this guard, who is a Shomer Shabbos, let's say for argument's sake, has not contributed to the Erev. But he sleeps there. He sleeps there, he eats there, he does everything he needs to do. That's his job, to sit in the Beishar. Or in Achsadra. There's a person that's in a porch. It's an extension of one of the bottom. We have a bayis, and in one of the bottom, there is an extension of a porch, and there's a person living there. Or there is a mirpeset, shebechotzer, and achsadra doesn't have four walls. Achsadra just has either two walls or just has poles. It's an open porch. A mirpeset is a closed porch, but there's no ceiling. Or if there is a ceiling, there are big open windows. So basically, just the idea is that it's not a regular enclosed area that we call a bayis. It has either no walls, or if it has walls, they're very weak walls because there are big open windows. But it's just a yachid because there's a tzuras haPesach, all four sides. There's a ceiling. There's a ceiling at Pitikra, and you have a tzuras haPesach on all four sides. It does not matter. These different types of enclosures do not qualify. At least the three mentioned here is the Beishar, the Achsadra, and the Nerpeset do not qualify as a bona fide bayis, and therefore, if the people living in these structures, do not contribute towards the Erev, it's okay. It's not going to ruin it for the other five people in the courtyard, as long as the other five people that live in a real house have contributed towards the Erev. That's it, you're okay, we don't have to consider this number six, as number six will be viewed as an extension of the house that he is attached to. He'll be viewed as their guest. If this Beishar is attached to house number four, so we'll view the person, the guard, in the outside, the house number four, as a guest of house number four. Number four has contributed to the Erev, so the Erev is okay. So, Eino Yoitzer al B'nei Chatzer. What?
The guard in the house can carry and do
it. Yes, the guard in the house is going to be said. Eino is abnei chotzer. She'enam chashuv diru. It's not considered to be a dira. Aval hador b'beis hateven. But let's say it's a real enclosure, four real walls with a real ceiling. It's just that it's not used for living. It's used typically to store things, a storage room. No, that's very significant. And then if a person happens to be a guest in the community, and the only place where he can sleep, someone comes for Shabbos, then the only place that's available is they have to put up a cot, set up an inflatable bed in the base tavern, the place where they store the straw. No, he has to contribute. That's really significant because there are four walls, there are the ceiling. Avadim, base tavern, base ha'itzim, base ha'bokar, base tavern, base ha'itzim, base store wood, u base ha'bokar, where they store the animals. I guess today you translate base the bokar is where you put the garage, the car, and the base ha'itzim is where you store
the woodshed.
The woodshed. Today, the equivalent of this what?
You don't mean
guest. No, I mean
he lives there.
Right, he lives there temporarily. I mean, obviously, you don't live in these type of places. So in the meantime, because if you would live there permanently, it would already be turned. It would be called a bais. So obviously, the fact that we're still calling it a bais eitzim or bais habakar, obviously, it's not his permanent dwelling place. Maybe he's there for 6 months. He's homeless. But it's still functional as a base tevna, base ha'itzin, base ha'bakar, or base ha'itzaros, a storage place, oisat, significant, and therefore it is asa. Now, there's a very important Mishnah Berurah, just a matter of 2-3 words. I don't know all the details, just touch upon the idea, just to keep in mind what it says here. Let's just run through the Mishnah very quickly. Hadar be'eshar, okay, on the bottom, sifkan aleph. Okay, simple things. We're dealing with a beishar with a guard. The guard sits, the little hut or outside attached to the house. It doesn't make a difference whether he's there for the yachid, for the rabbim, for a whole apartment building, or just for one person, one resident. There are four walls, and it's mekorer. So this is already nicely said. The Mishnah Berurah explains what's the lamdus. What's the lamdus? You have to extrapolate. The lamdus is, it's not private. The reason why a Beich Shar Nachsadr Merpeset is not called an independent bias to be required to contribute to the Erev is because the people indoors walk right through. There's no privacy. The person in the Beich Shar, he's always dressed, he's always... Because the owner of the bayis at any moment in time will open up the door and walk into the Beis Shar and go through the Beis Shar. He walks out into the street. Therefore, the Yesod is a place that's not private. There is no privacy. At any given moment, someone can open the door and walk through your Rishus. By definition, is not called a bayis and does not need to contribute independently to the Erev. It's viewed as an extension of the bayis. There, Amir Peset, same exact thing. Perusha Levor Lekamar Mesimin Shnayin Hay. So we're going to have more about that later on. Ein Oitzayim Loi Nasa Nechelag Be'erif. Why? Now here's the Mishnah we want to discuss in a little more detail. Why? She'einam Chashuvim Dira V'chu Hadin. Okay, three magic words which have generated an enormous amount of discussion. Sukas Hechog Bechog. A sukkah. In other words, let's say we have a playground, or we have, let's say, an apartment building. Let's apartment building, and in the apartment building out in the back, there's a big yard. There's a big open area, and it's closed in. There are four walls, and let's say three people who live in the apartment building. They build, each one builds their own sukkah. Very common in a place where there are apartment buildings. In the back of the apartment building is usually an open area, and sometimes, I remember I used to live in Lowry, so we had these communal sukkahs, one big sukkah for the whole community. It was very nice, everyone ate together. I mean, people sometimes were so crowded, took shifts, whatever it was. But sometimes, no, I don't want to be one big sukkah with everyone together. I'll build my little 4x4 sukkah, and you'll build your 8x12 sukkah, and he'll build his 6x6 sukkah. There'll be three sukkos in the backyard. And guess what? We forgot it's Shabbos, and in this apartment building, we don't have an area of chatzeros because no one needs it, no one's interested, so there's never an area of chatzeros. And now, but it's sukkahs today, so the whole year round, everyone, no area of chatzeros. Okay, everyone only carries in their apartment. I don't know how that's shaykh, because you have to with keys to go into the building, whatever the case is. But let's just a theoretical case. Sukkahs, backyard, there are three sukkos. They didn't make any river chatzeros. Now you got a problem. So what do you do? Okay, there are many scenarios. That's why I'm very confused. We'll just read a little bit. But I want to just get the words of the Mishnah Berurah and just the basic gist. And we're not going to go into too much detail. But you have a problem. You have three sukkos, and you're in an enclosure, and no one here has made, they have not made Eruv Chatzeros. Let's say you got lucky, and all the food is in the sukkah. Everyone, no one has to bring anything they need from their building, from their apartment, into the sukkah. Are you allowed to carry from the sukkah into the yard, or are you allowed to go from one sukkah to another sukkah? Do we view a sukkah to be a bias? As right now we're discussing over here in the Shulchan Aruch, we're discussing a case where you have a courtyard. And in the courtyard there are five real nice houses. Like real deal. Each house is worth $1 million. And one house happens to have a Beis Shaar, happens to have a guard on the outside of his house. You have to walk through the Shaar. Okay, so all five houses, they contribute to the Eved Chatzeres, good, the Beis Shaar. That's an insignificant structure. Let's say, changing the case department, let's say we have this yard, and we have a sukkah. Five mansions, each one worth $1 million, in this enclosure. And there's one guy that made a sukkah. It's sukkos. And he has all the food in the sukkah. And the five people in the courtyard with their five mansions have all contributed to the earth. But this guest who asked permission from these five people, can I build my sukkah here in this courtyard? And I'll bring all my stuff before Shabbos. I'll keep it in the sukkah. I eat very light. I don't need it. Now we have a sixth resident living in our courtyard. What are we going to do? He has not contributed towards the Erev. Is he going to ruin it for us? All that we learned in the Mechaber is the status of Nachsar, Jebe, Shamir, Peset. That's what we make him. What?
He's in the Divas
Barai. Ah, so that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. He says something over there very, very fascinating, with only a few short words, and generates an enormous amount of discussion. V'hu hadin sukas hechog b'chog. Gam kein loy chashiva diro le'esar. Bias, period. So again, the simplest case, I'll give you the simplest case that I can possibly imagine to interpret the words of the Mishnah Berurah. We have a courtyard, we have five real homes, the five residents have contributed to Neruv Chatzeros. What they're doing for Sukkot, I don't know. Don't ask me what they're doing for their meals, I don't know. But in this courtyard, we have a guest who has received permission from the five people to build a sukkah for sukkos, and he built a sukkah, and in the sukkah he has his all of his food, all of his needs in the sukkah, but he's now resident number six. Resident number six should ruin it for the other five people, because resident number six has not contributed towards the Eruv Chatzeros. Along comes the Mishnah Berurah, a sukkah is insignificant. Dearest, how could you say that? Teishvu kein tiduru. It should be a bias. This is we have to live. You have to sleep. You have to live. Today we're so lenient in the halacha. We don't sleep in the sukkah. Really, you should be sleeping in the sukkah. You should do everything in the sukkah. Okay, so very lenient. They're okay. That halacha, you don't have to do all these things. Make it right. Whatever. But what's going on here? That's what he says. So if we turn to the dirish, I'm not going to go through all the dirish in the back, but the just to give you a little bit of appreciation, the back of this sefer, yeah, it's on page 20, we'll take all the way to the back. All the way back, there are pages with big numbers. 21. 21. You don't have the dirish, so let's read you a few words. Okay, number 3. So there's a lot of stuff here, and it's very confusing. I tried to go through it, but I had a hard time. Number 3, the avshal inyan latalkal misukul sukkah cheres shebo'isa chotze posikul kamon she'osur. A lot of contradictions. Let's say there are two sukkos in this courtyard. You're not allowed to transfer from one sukkah to another sukkah. Why not? If the people in the courtyard, the people in the sukkah, they're not considered residents, so it's as if you left utensils in the courtyard. We learned that if you leave something, let's say you don't have an Erev in your apartment building, and there is a object in the lobby, you can carry it from one corner to the other corner. The only thing you can't do, if you don't make another chatzer, you can't carry from the bayis to the chatzer. But anything that's been left in the chatzer can be transferred anywhere you want from one end of the chatzer to another end of the chatzer. So if that's the case, if the sukkah is insignificant, it's as if the sukkah doesn't exist, so you should be allowed to carry anything that's in the sukkah throughout the entire courtyard, which would allow you to go from one sukkah to another sukkah, because they're the same status. Nope, you may not do that. So right away, a problem. So right away, you see that it's some type of hybrid, some quasi type of dira, which is not here, not there. The afshalin the talmud musukul musukul acheres shabbos chazav pasul kamon shaloso kasev sefer bina simcha shashami dubar shasukul liyat habayis. Ah, so now we're getting into a new distinction. I'm not reading this to go through all the details. I'm just going to do this to confuse you. to show you there are different scenarios. What happens if the sukkah is connected to your attached? Like today, many people have their sukkah right out of the back door, right onto the deck. So that's a different status. That type of sukkah is considered an extension of your bias. The sukkah that Mishnah Berurah is discussing, where it's an independent structure in the courtyard, it's not attached to the bias.
What happens if it's just leaning on the wall of the bias? It's not really attached, but you built it up against the wall.
If you don't have to travel Dalet Amos, so then it's considered attached. That's called attached. Yeah, it doesn't have to be physically attached. That's just to be halachically connected. And you go right from the bias and then into the sukkah. So there, where it says that it's going to be a problem, it's one of the rooms of the house. So obviously this already did a lot of modern shaylos here. In that case, well, not only is the sukkah attached, the people who live, let's just leave that. Next thing. I just want to bring out that point that there are different types of sukkahs, and the halacha will change if it's independent structure or if it's attached to the house. Then he discussed another issue. No, he disagrees. This opinion seems to say, not like we said above, that even though a sukkah, if in our scenario, you have a courtyard, you have five batim, they all contribute, and now we got this guy who makes a sukkah, a sixth man. Man number six is not going to ruin it for the other five people. But that doesn't mean he's allowed to transfer from his sukkah to a bias, to someone else. Normally, if you don't ruin it for the courtyard, you're a guest. The courtyard has been fixed, is mesukah. There's a solution. You can do anything you want. It's very unusual. You're not going to ruin it, according to this approach, this opinion, this safe called Shari Day, which he's quoting. I don't know what it is, but obviously it's very very authoritative. If they're quoting it here, the supplement is that this bias is not going to ruin it for the other five. And the logical conclusion is, if I'm not going to ruin it for the other five people in halacha, it's as if I left my utensils lying on the floor in the courtyard. And since this courtyard is one big happy family, there's no limitation. I can move those utensils anywhere I want in the entire courtyard. No. It's not going to ruin it for the other five people, but you're limited to keep yourself confined inside your sukkah. You're not allowed to go from your sukkah into the courtyard, not from the courtyard to the sukkah, and not from your sukkah anywhere else. It's a tremendous chiddush. So manav shach, if you're independent, so you should ruin it for the other five people. It's somewhere in the middle. Very, very interesting. Okay, then he discusses other scenarios, which I will leave them to discuss other scenarios, two other scenarios. What happens if there are people, women? A woman is not mechuyev to eat in the sukkah. Okay, today all the women, nashim tzidkaniyos, they eat in the sukkah, they do everything in the sukkah. But al pi halacha, they're not mechuyev to do so. So the ikar dira really is in the bias. Children. Children don't sleep in the sukkah. They don't eat in the sukkah. They're also considered significant people. They're part of the family. So how do you deal with a sukkah? You have someone in the sukkah, but the people in the sukkah, they're part of a family. Let's see, go back to our previous case. Just going to present a scenario. I'm not telling in the halach. It's very complicated. Honestly, there are many different opinions. But let's say we have our scenario of five residents in the courtyard. Four of them contributed to the Erev. One of them did not. But the one that did not is primarily living this Shabbos in their sukkah. But they also go back to the house to sleep. Or the children sleep in the house. Or the wives sleep in the house. So, where are they? If they would be only in the sukkah and not in the bayis, so that we learned, you're okay. They're not going to ruin it for the other people. What they can do is another issue, but they're not going to ruin it. But they didn't contribute, and they have the sukkah, but part of the family lives in the house, or they sleep in the house. What's the status? It's very complicated. Different approaches. Some, one way yes, one way not. And then the last thing he quotes at the very end, let's say you have like some, you have the sukkah is in your house itself. You have a house, and if the sukkah is, the ceiling comes off, and the skylight, so now your house is now the sukkah. And you have not contributed to the Erev. Everyone else in the courtyard has contributed, but you didn't contribute. So what we just learned is you don't ruin it for your community, right? Isn't that what it says? You have five people, and number six builds a little sukkah, and he's all in his, the simplest case, bare bones. Five residents, number six is completely independent in his little fiberglass sukkah. He doesn't ruin it for the other five people. New scenario: five people. One of the five, four of them make the Erev. Number five doesn't contribute to the Erev, but he takes off the ceiling of his house. He opens up the skylight and he puts down tzchach. So my house now is a sukkah. I shouldn't ruin it. You ruin it. Why do you ruin it? I'm a sukkah. I'm not a bias. You're a bias. But it's sukkahs. Doesn't matter. Since you're a bias the whole year round for sukkahs, you're also called a bias. But I'm a sukkah. Okay, so we see, obviously, we're playing around over here. There are many scenarios, and some areas we consider you to be a bias, some areas you seem to be a sukkah. It depends on the family. It's obviously very confusing, and I'm sure halacha l'maisa will be halacha l'maisa, I have no doubt. L'chatchila, the Rav will tell you, you should make an Erev. There's no question. And b'diavad, if you didn't make the Erev, so it all depends on how desperate you are. If you're not so desperate, you have somewhere else to go eat somewhere else. If you're very desperate, yeish on me, lismaych, you can be making, you can do what you need to do without making the Erev. That's obviously what the bottom line will usually be. Okay, let's go back to the halacha. Back to Shin Ayin. Okay, it's amazing. Three words of Mishneh Berurah. Sukkah sechag v'chag. It's not just the Meshuvah. I mean, the Meshuvah is taking from the Paiskim. He's quoting from the Paiskim. The Meshuvah is making a statement. And the statement is obviously, he's deciding something which is a very big, big sugya. You see how vast it is. I looked at some of the Mefarshim. And three words, the Meshuvah tells you what his opinion is on this matter. Period. Okay, let's go back. Simen Shin Ayin. Now we go to Halacha Beis. Se'if Beis. Balabais, Shiyesh Leharbe Botim Bechotzer. Now this is very much Nogeh Halacha L'mais. This is the sugya of the apartment buildings. This is called Tfisas Habais, Tfisas Yod. I'm feeling the expression still here, Tfisas Habais, where you have basically an apartment building and there is one owner. One person owns all of the Botim, bungalow colony, apartment building. And the residents are renting. Now, if you rent, doesn't matter. It's independent. You're considered to be an independent person, and you must make an Erev. Just because you rent a room, you rent even a hotel. This is not very much like halacha l'maaseh when it comes to a hotel. Hotel, one person may own the hotel, or one person may have leased the entire hotel, and he's subleasing it. You're paying him to allow you. He has rights to sublease it to you or for the Shabbos. To remain in that room, doesn't matter. If you have some degree of independence in your apartment, in your room, even though ultimately it's owned by someone else, and even if that person himself doesn't own it, he himself has subleased it, you know, prime mortgage, you can go with many, many layers to who really owns the property, it doesn't matter. I'm independent to a certain degree. I paid money and I have a right to be here. You must contribute to make the Erev. There's no question about it. But, here's the big but. You have two conditions. I'll give you an overview. There are two conditions. If the person, someone else really owns the property, I have rights, but someone else really is on top of me. And number two, he has also stored in this apartment something that belongs to him, that's exclusive to him, and it's not mine, then I am already considered in halacha a guest. And I do not need to contribute to an Erev. So in other words, you have an apartment building. The apartment building is owned by one person. all of the residents rent
furnished apartment.
They're furnished, exactly. So, but no, that's not the furnished. It's not
because
so similar.
The owner owns the furniture.
But that's complicated, because just because he owns the furniture, that we're going to get to, especially with the hotels, is he has to own something that you don't use. In other words, if part of the rental is you have rights to you to use the bed. I'm renting you the apartment with the bed. So I have no rights on the bed. You paid for the right to own the bed. That is not necessarily different.
Own the bed to use
to
the
use
bed.
The bed. You use the bed, that does not qualify to Tfis Asiyad. Tfis Asiyad means I own the apartment, I'm renting the apartment to you. There's a closet in the apartment where I store my tools. I have something I store there, which is none of your business. Don't open that closet. It's locked, it's mine, don't touch it. And it's true, it's your apartment, you've rented it, but part of the agreement is that in this apartment is going to be a corner where I'm going to store something which belongs to me. That lethal, those two conditions together make it, the result is that you're considered a guest. But if you only have one of the conditions, either you're renting, or even if you're not renting, you own it. And out of your kindness, you've let your friend store things here which I have no right to touch. That is not enough. The big question today in halacha is what you just said, is where the furnished apartment, where the owner owns the apartment and he owns the utilities. He owns the washing machine, he owns the bed. So there you're getting different types of objects. There are things which are muksa on Shabbos, things which are not muksa on Shabbos. A washing machine is a much better leniency, because on Shabbos, you're not using the washing machine. The washing machine is owned by the building owner, and it's his apartment, and it's his washing machine. On Shabbos, I'm renting the apartment, and I'm not using the washing machine, because on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to use the washing machine. That already, I become a guest. But if there isn't a washing machine, there's a bed, there's furniture. Furniture is not muksa. He can move the furniture, but I have rights to use the furniture. I have rights to use it on Shabbos, which basically means that he has no right to come on Shabbos and take away my bed. Take away. Then already, it's not necessarily called tfis asiyad. So there are many variables and there are many conditions, and come like the hotel. I'll go to the hotel. You have rights to use the bed. We're going to read some of the things inside. It gets very complicated. And that's why halacha l'maaseh will always mach, we make an erev no matter what. But in these type of situations, you don't make a bracha, obviously, because there's so many factors why you would not need to make. There are many opinions why you would not need to make a bracha in many of these situations. Let's get the basic gist. There's something in the Mishnah who brings out some very important yisodos, and then we'll just halacha l'maaseh. We'll just see the general. A lot of these are very vague, okay, very vague, and always do make an erev, but no bracha. Let's again. Balabaye shiyesh loy harbe botim bechotzer. So the basic rule is, we have a balabais. He has many botim bechotzer. Vehish ilon, he lends them. Very nice guy. Rent free. All my friends come. You can live in my courtyard. I have a building. I have condominiums. Everyone come live rent free. Oy hiskiron lacherim. He's not so generous. Charges nice amount of rent. Vehish loy bechol echad mehem. Devarim. And each apartment, there are things which are muksa. She'enam nitolim b'Shabbos. Now here is a very powerful statement, which is subject to an enormous amount of interpretation. B'Shabbos machmas kovdon. The reason why the Baal Habayis is not going to take out this object on Shabbos is not because it's muksa, not because you're not allowed to, it's just very heavy. It's a very heavy thing, and to take it out requires professional services. So on Shabbos, it's just not going to happen. Not that you can't. You can bring in a team of people if you really want to carry a chest. Let's say he's storing there, a safe.
A
washing machine is machmas issa. It's machmas issa. But let's say you have a safe. You can't carry. What?
A bookcase.
A book is a svar. Very good. A book is a svar. He owns the book as a svar. He's not going to come. It's just something that's not going to happen on Shabbat. It's not in the spirit of Shabbat to remove this thing because it's machmas kovdom. It's too heavy. So a lot of farshim are very troubled with this. What do you mean it's too heavy? If you really need it, you'll take it. You'll bring in enough people to take it. So what does it mean exactly? What are the parameters? What are the guidelines? It's a very vague statement. Halacha, Shulchan Aruch, you know, everything is has to be, any statement of halacha has to be clear cut. What does this mean exactly? It's not a clear statement, whatever. Or machmas iser. It's muksa. You can't take it. It's partially, it's muksa. You're not allowed to move it. It's a washing machine. It's a toolkit, whatever it is. Shehem dvarim sha'asu l'talkla mafil l'sirach m'kaimam. Even if it's, now there are things which are muksa, you're allowed to metalka l'tzach gufa and mukayma. So these are things which are so muksa, you're not allowed to be metalka even for their mukayim. A feel l'tzach mukayim. So you know when the degree of muksa on these objects are severe, you're not allowed to move even l'tzach mukayma. Then ein hadarim bohem oisna lov l'fi shenasu kulam ke'orchim etzla. So you have here two conditions. Number one, the Balabayas owns the apartment. Number one, that's critical. You can't do it without, you can't forget about it. Number two, the Balabayas is storing in your apartment something which belongs to him exclusively and will not, under any condition, be removed from the apartment on Shabbos. But if the Balabayas has there a couple of chairs, he has a table and a chair. Who knows? The Balabayas will say, you know, I have some guests, Rod, I need some more chairs. Can I take my chairs out and bring them to my house? That's not called Tfisas Yad, because it's not Muksa. And who knows? And so then the person living in the apartment will be Mechuyel, Pi Halacha, to contribute, even though I don't own the apartment, I'm only renting the apartment. Doesn't matter. Just because you rent, you have to. You're an independent person. You have to contribute. But if the Balabayas, in addition to you're only renting, and there's also tias tfisas yad, and it's not going to be moved, then you're exempt. Lufi shenasu kulam. Why? They're all considered to be guests. Okay, so we're going to stop here. Let's do some of the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, a few Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll stop, and we'll continue in the middle of the sif tomorrow. So let's see Beis Zion. V'shilon davka sheshilon l'zman merube aval meshilon l'fi sho'in eisolah b'cholinyin. That's another very important law that has to be, this we get into a hotel situation. Lending is long term, at least lending. I don't know, maybe renting is different. I don't know, you have to, this is a little bit confusing. Number 8, what do you say? There are some tear shoes here. Okay, lending is only considered to be a factor when it's for long term. Long term means at least for 30 days. If you're only staying in this apartment for less than 30 days, even if you have the other condition, there are objects which are not going to be moved, it's not enough. Ches, machmas kovdon. So here he explains, he touched upon the issue of Mishnah Berurah, av she'ein nase muksa al-yidei ha-kovid, just because something is heavy, it's not muksa, you can move it if you really want. Mikom okim kevon she'esh torach lifa noison ein derech lila m'shabes. A new yisod, whole new yisod in halacha. This is a very rare, fascinating yisod. It's not the derech. This is very weird, such a concept. It's either halacha is black and white, asur mutar. You don't have, halacha l'maisa is gray. Because halacha l'maisa, do you follow this, do you follow that rule? So we always don't know, we're always in the daze and the confusion what to do. Because we don't know if our scenario fits into this rule or fits into this rule. But the rules are clear. We don't know how to apply the rules. Here you have a rule itself, which is a very vague rule. The rule is, it's not the derech to move this on Shabbos. What do you mean it's not the derech? Okay, not the derech. If you next one test, if you allow to metatlan mitzvah kuvud mukayim, and after she yisrach balabayis l'shtamish v'em b'shamis, I lotzian mi beisu machmas ezasibav lo yishar lo yisham tfisas yot. Because if you allow to move it, so maybe it's not called tfisas, because the balabayis will retrieve the object on Shabbos, and then he has no connection to your apartment. If he has no connection to your apartment, you no longer called his guest yot shenasu. But if you do have both conditions, then you're called a guest. Shenasu kulam ki arkim kevon d'shloy silek atzmai mibatim elu mikol mikol. Since the balabayis, he has a hand in your apartment. I own it, and I have my properties resting there. Therefore, you're my guest. V'davka k'shemunach sham chafotzav avol kol zman sheimunach sham Now, another. Let's say the balabayis doesn't have anything there, but in the contract it says that in this closet I have a right to put my tools. But lucky you, I'm not making use of this condition. Not enough. Af sheyesh l'rishus l'nichsham loy mahani etzlo yud alfs the last mishnah berurah for wood for today. Ah umay kesheyesh l'rishus l'nichsham va'afilu in l'rishus l'nich b'chol bayis rak pina achas. Even if you have only rishus to put in the corner, avolim ein loy rishus lezer klal rak sheniach l'sham b'derech mikre ve'ein ma'pidin alav bezel loy nasu al yidei ze ka'orchen etzlo v'osna. This is very common, right? You have an owner of an apartment and you're renting, and you're there, but the Baal HaBayis has his things there. Because he found someone to rent the apartment, he stored whatever, something there in the closet. But he has no right. He has no right to keep it there. I've rented the apartment, and my rights, by me paying rent, I have exclusive rights to the apartment, and get your things out of the closet. No, in the meantime, I'm a nice guy, you can keep your stuff there he has storing their paint, he's storing their whatever, tools, whatever. That's not enough. Just because he happens to have things there, if it's not in the contract that I have rights to store things there, even though it's, but he doesn't have the rights, but I'm not going to make an issue, and he kept it there, whatever, that's not enough. That's not called tfisas sabai. So there are a very strict set of conditions in order to qualify for tfisas yad. Okay, we'll continue with this mitzvah tomorrow from Ulefichach.